Putting God first.
Can you hear me okay? Okay. When I go to a new place, you know, I also get loud sometimes, so I don't want to hurt people's ears. Putting God first. You've probably had Matthew 6:33 read to you many times over the last quarter. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put that in your memory. Today we're going to start with Matthew 22, verse 37. This is when Jesus was questioned. What's the first and great commandment? So as far as priorities are concerned, I figured this would be appropriate. Master, which is the first and great commandment in the law? Jesus answered, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And so that really nicely fits in with the theme that I have, or the topic specifically, because I can take you back now to what Jesus quoted, and that's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, which Moses wrote as he was preparing his people to enter the land of Canaan. He knew there was going to be a lot of things, a lot of issues that they had to be aware of. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And ye shall teach them diligently unto thy children. And ye shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. And ye shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall write them upon the posts of your house, and on your gates. So that just worked out really nice. Going to that place where Jesus said, the first and great commandment is this. So we're talking about priorities, putting God first in the family. And so it just real nicely just took me right to Deuteronomy where he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And then, of course, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he says, these need to be in your heart. And then he says, And you shall teach these diligently to your children. And then he takes a little bit further. You know, we got this word baptism, but actually means immerse, right? And that's actually kind of what I think about when I read a text like this, because he doesn't leave anything out except for maybe jogging. But he says, when you sit down, I want you to talk about this stuff. Talk about these commandments, talk about these words, talk about these principles, these ideas, when you're sitting down, okay? But Moses, what do we do when we stand up? When you stand up, I want you to talk about this stuff, these principles, these ideas, this stuff, all this good stuff. That's what I want you to do when you're standing. But Moses, what about when I'm walking around? When you're walking around, I want you to do it. But what about when it's time to lay down? When it's time to lay down, you do it. And when you rise up, it's time to do it. So he left out jogging. You know what else he left out? There's only a few people who can do this in the world. One of them is Michael Jackson. He can do this, like, lean thing from Smooth Criminal. You guys remember what I'm talking about? He left that out as well. You don't know what I'm talking about? Go watch it. We're in the YouTube age. Go look up Smooth Criminal on YouTube. But anyway, be immersed in this stuff. And your children need to be immersed in this stuff. And there's other places that we're going to go to in just a moment, because one of the things that Moses and God told Moses was, you know, when your children ask you questions, you need to be able to answer those questions. You need to be able to tell them, you know, what happened way back in Egypt. You need to tell them about the 10 plagues and all that. And that's exactly where we're going to go. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 10. And we're going to go to that good old story, that good old Bible story of the 10 plagues in Egypt. And I'm going to just set the stage for you a little bit, because Moses is really becoming a thorn in the side of Pharaoh. 7 plagues have happened up to this point. And you know what the next one's going to be? The locusts. They didn't like that. The locust was one of the big ones. There's a place, I think it's Obadiah, one of the minor prophets, when he's talking about the locusts. And the locusts are referred to as the army of the Lord. The locusts were a big deal. When they came, they consumed everything, you know. And so that's the next thing coming. So what I want to do is read the first few verses to get us started. Beginning in verse 1 of Exodus 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go to Pharaoh. For I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, that you may tell him in the ears of your son and in your son's son, what things I have done in Egypt. Did you catch that? Because I want you to be able to tell your son and your son's son what I did in Egypt. My signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews says, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse, behold, tomorrow I will send locusts into your coast. And so, things are starting to get pretty hairy. There's already been the previous 7 plagues, and the resistance of Pharaoh is starting to break. In verse 1, it actually mentions that his heart was hardened, right? That God had actually hardened his heart. And so we know that Pharaoh wasn't going to give in to the demands yet. But I want you to notice actually in verse 7. Now this is pretty significant, because, you know, Pharaoh, I mean, he was a god among men. You didn't question Pharaoh in these days. And so verse 7 is pretty significant, because it's actually when his servants started to break a little bit. Their resistance was getting really weak. And so they actually spoke to the Pharaoh. It's almost like they took a moment where they, you know, took an authoritative stance to the Pharaoh. And probably because they're worried about their own lives. Hey, you know what? This is basically suicide now, Pharaoh. So let's read what it says. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long will this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Don't you realize that Egypt is destroyed? And so they took this objective stance, this idea. They realized that that Pharaoh needed to bend. He needed to make some changes. And he said, or his servants said to him, Pharaoh, you gotta let him go. And so his servants had a little bit of influence on him. And so let's read verse 8. Moses and Aaron were brought up again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who
is gone. The negotiations begin. The negotiations have started. For the very first time, Pharaoh starts to bend a little bit. Moses says, "Let my people go." And he says, "You know what? Go." He actually says right in verse 8, "Go and serve your God." But wait, hold on now. Hold on now one second. It's almost like Moses walked into a used car sales lot, and then the battle was getting ready to begin. Somebody's losing money on this one. I don't know who. We don't know who's losing money, but the negotiations have to begin. So, I want to know who's going. Because I need to keep a little bit back for me. I got to make sure I have some security over here. What do you think Moses responded? How would you have responded? Don't you think Moses was getting pretty tired of this too? Anybody in this room ever get tired of being a Christian sometimes? Just sometimes. I know you love being a Christian. I know you do. But just every now and then, doesn't it get tiring? Thinking, man, I'm supposed to talk to people about Jesus, and I get made fun of from time to time. And you know, the kids are a hassle sometimes. We're talking about family, right? I haven't forgotten about family yet. We're getting there. But it gets tiring sometimes. You just imagine how Moses felt. 7 plagues, having to face the king of Egypt. His life was at stake every single time. He was always probably watching his back. His old people didn't like him. This Moses guy. You know, we used to have straw, but you guys remember the good old days when we had straw to make our bricks? And then Moses came along and ruined the whole thing for us? Nobody liked Moses. Don't you think he was tired? It's tiring being a parent sometimes. Tiring being a brother of somebody who won't shape up. Tired of dealing with people who are members of the Lord's church because this is a family. Tired of people who disappear from the church and you don't hear from them and you have no idea why they left. And it's tiring to even sit down and pray the same prayer, be with these people because it seems like nothing's happening sometimes. I'm willing to guess that Moses was pretty tired and he was pretty tempted to say, "Yo, just me and Aaron are going. Just the two of us. Maybe Miriam too. I don't know. Just a few of us. Yo, let's skip town." But what was his answer? Verse 9. "And Moses said, 'We will go.'" You ever think of the word "we" as such a big word? "We